Now I'm reading today from Jeremiah chapter 31 and commencing to read at verse 31. So that's easy to remember. Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was as an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Ending there at verse 34 of Jeremiah 31. What a wonderful promise the Lord has given here to the people through Jeremiah. It wasn't the first time that God had spoken to this people regarding covenants and keeping covenants and the obligation that that would bring upon them. In fact, God gave Noah a covenant after the great flood when he said to Noah, This is my covenant with you, that the earth shall never again be destroyed by a flood. And he said to ratify this covenant and give you a constant reminder of my covenant, I do set my bow in the cloud. So you can rest assured that the world will never ever again be destroyed by a flood. Every time you look up and see a rainbow, that reminds you of God's covenant. So that's a covenant that the Lord made with Noah in his day. But God gave a covenant to Abraham in Abraham's day. And you know that Abraham was the friend of God and the father of the faithful. He's looked on as the father of the nation of Israel. And in Genesis 17, and especially from verse 2 to verse 22, God gives Abraham a covenant. And in that covenant promise, he says to Abraham, you will have an offspring, even though Abraham was at a very advanced age at this point in life. He said, I will make of you a people, and you will be a blessing to all nations. And he said, I will give you a land, and my presence will be with you in your life. That is a passage that you should read. Genesis chapter 17, verses 2 to verse 22. The fact that God is a covenant-keeping God, of course, is expressed in his name, Jehovah. That name means the covenant-keeping one. And right throughout the Old Testament, the name Jehovah keeps cropping up all through the Old Testament scriptures, a constant reminder that the God of Israel, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, was not only a covenant-making God, but he was a covenant-keeping God. Old Testament history is punctuated with a number of covenant renewals, and that brought temporary blessing, but it didn't change the hearts of the people. God renewed his covenant to Moses. And in fact, in this passage that we have just read, here in Jeremiah chapter 31, the Lord reminds the people in Jeremiah's day that he had made a covenant with them when he took them out of the land of Egypt by the hand of Moses. He said, that covenant they broke, although I was an husband to them, saith the Lord. You read much about that covenant in Exodus chapter 5, verses 2 and 6 and 7 and 8, but I should draw your attention to a special chapter, and it is Exodus chapter 6, verses 3 to 8. I'll just read that to you to see where the covenant promise of God is, right there in Exodus chapter 6. Here are the words. And God spoke to Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, meaning Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. I appeared unto Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land, concerning the which I did promise to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it for a heritage to you. I am the Lord. So there's the covenant renewed under Moses. And that's true also under the lifetime and ministry of his successor Joshua, in the days of Samuel the prophet, under King Hezekiah and Josiah, those men who inspired great days of revival that led the people back to God's law. And all this took place under the old covenant, as we refer to it, from the days of Moses. It was a covenant that could direct their conduct, but the shortcoming of it was that it could not change their character. They could be religious and they could follow religious observances, but they didn't know the change of heart that we so often speak about in these days when we refer to the new covenant. That's why there is a new covenant referred to here in Jeremiah chapter 31. And not just here, but in other parts and portions of the Old Testament, where God says, but I am going to establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Jacob. And in these moments that remain to me, let me just speak to you now about the new covenant. The new covenant is inward. Verse 33, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Isn't it interesting that when we read the New Testament, and especially there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul refers to the new covenant, and he says it's a covenant that is not written on stone tablets, but on the tables of the heart. Not in the letter, as it was when it was written down and burned out in a finger of fire and tables of stone, as it was in the Old Testament, in the letter of the law, but of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is now the one who implants within our hearts a newness and a nature that establishes a covenant between us and God. And it sets up a relationship in which there is life, in which there is liberty, and in which there is likeness. And all of that you will find in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, because it's in the Spirit who is the life-giving Spirit, verse 6, who is the liberating Spirit in verse 17, and who brings the inward likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts, found in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. My dear friends today, all the outward religion of the world cannot change the character nor the heart. It can govern the outward processes of life. It can lead us to do certain things by rote and by religious observance. But the vitality of the new covenant that God speaks about here and promises, even away back in the days of Jeremiah, is that it is inward. And that's wonderful, that's unique, that's relating to people where they need the change in the heart. And thank God today for a covenant that is inward. And it's also personal, because whilst we have a compass that reaches right round the world, in the embracing of this covenant and in whom it embraces. Thank God it's for each person as an individual, each one experiencing a new heart, a new disposition of godliness. In fact, the last program that I did, I made reference to the fact that the climax of the covenant is referred to in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, where God says, I will write my law in their hearts. And let me just read that to you. He says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Primarily, that was given to the people under the prophetic ministry of Ezekiel. But there is a secondary sense and a secondary significance to those wonderful words. So much of that is found in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God today for the glorious gospel of Jesus that's right there in those verses in Ezekiel chapter 36, from verse 25 to verse 28. Under the old covenant, sin and guilt became a reality. The Bible speaks about it as being like a schoolmaster. What to do to produce a sense of sinfulness? God's law, bringing upon us a sense of being under condemnation. But under the new covenant, and here it is, and it's also spoken of in Jeremiah 31, he said, under the new covenant, sin's guilt and sin's pollutions or iniquities or inequities will be taken away. How wonderful is that, my dear people today? Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. It's inward. It's personal. And God's covenant or God's promise today, its basis is Calvary. I say again, the basis of the new covenant is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. In Matthew chapter 26 and verses 26 to 28, the Lord Jesus is gathered with his disciples in the upper room. It's the Last Supper before they go to Gethsemane, and he goes on to Calvary. And he says in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Now here's the word. For this is my blood of the New Testament, or the New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ instituting the New Covenant by symbol and by sign in the Last Supper. It was what would happen when he would be broken and when he would pour out his life's blood, that he would purchase eternal salvation for all those who would trust him. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 10, verses 16 to 18 says, this is my covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. These are God's covenant promises to his ancient people. And a covenant is something which on God's side and on God's part is unbreakable. He says, if you can measure the heavens, and if you can plumb the depths, If you can stop the sun shining and the moon from reflecting that light, then he says, I will break my covenant. But he said, you can't do it because my covenant is unbreakable. It's more sure than even the shining sun in the heavens and more wonderful than the greatest magnitudes of distance you can ever measure. Jeremiah chapter 31 to 35, we read these words, Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, who divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, saith the Lord, and from before me, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. If the heavens above can be measured, and the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. And of course you know what's inferred in that, that God keeps his promises. Praise God today that if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you come as a sinner to him, and you acknowledge his wonderful work on Calvary's cross on your behalf to be your Redeemer and Savior, the Holy Spirit can take what he has done and enter into your heart with all the benefits of that gracious work of the cross, that you can enjoy the blessings of the new covenant. How? By accepting the Lord, by trusting in his redeeming blood, and by allowing the Holy Spirit to impart the divine nature in your heart in exchange for the corrupt and sinful nature that you were born with. Praise God for the saving grace of Jesus Christ, for the sanctifying power and fullness of the precious blood and the gracious Holy Spirit. This is the new covenant in action. I trust today, for those of you who have been listening in, that you enjoy the inward presence of Jesus Christ, that you experience his salvation personally, and that Calvary has become real to you. I trust the Lord will bless this further thought on new things that the Lord has promised in his word.